Cuchufo para Enrique. Enrique, Diego Armando Maradona, dos hombres. Se le fue a los dos. Maravilloso. Está agrandado, está con todas las luces. Se va Diego, otro más. Sigue Maradona, busca el área. Está el segundo, va a tirar. Va a tirar.
See if you can follow the ball. An American official has Swiss police arrest an Uruguayan who works in Paraguay on charges he took bribes from a Brazilian in return for marketing rights to a soccer tournament in Chile. This complicated play was executed last week by U.S. Attorney General Loretta Lynch, who charged 14 officials from FIFA with racketeering, bribery, wire fraud, and money laundering. She alleges the defendants exchanged over $150 million in clandestine and illegal payments. It seems extraordinary. How can an American law reach so far beyond its borders, prosecuting foreigners, apparently committing foreign crimes, with foreign victims on foreign soil? The theory of extraterritorial jurisdiction is an old one. Legal scholars during the reign of the Roman Emperor Justinian were the first to argue that some laws were common to all mankind, allowing Rome to prosecute crimes that would be universally condemned, even if they occurred in distant barbarian lands. During the European Enlightenment, it became accepted that there were some crimes, such as piracy or hijacking, that by their very nature were committed outside the territory of any state. Therefore, nations could extend the reach of their judicial systems, as the British did, interdicting slave traders sailing on oceans a world away. In America, this legal theory was most famously applied during the Nuremberg trials. And, in the 1980s, American courts even gave foreign citizens the right to seek remedies for human rights abuses committed abroad. The FIFA case, though, is more domestic than it seems. The charges stem from a plea bargain deal by Chuck Blazer, an American and former head of a Miami-based governing body for soccer in North America, Central America, and the Caribbean. After pleading guilty to a racketeering and money laundering charge in 2013, Blazer provided evidence to U.S. prosecutors of widespread corruption in FIFA. He implicated other Americans and American marketing contracts, and the subsequent investigation uncovered transactions in several American-based banks. So the FIFA charges are not especially extraterritorial after all. Nonetheless, it left many people around the world wondering why it was the United States, the only country that is proudly indifferent to soccer, which finally addressed FIFA's infamous corruption. It's true, Americans remain somewhat puritanical when compared to other nations. In Africa and Latin America, the shameless bribery of FIFA is a long-accepted fact of life. Indeed, in many countries, it is understood that when someone scrambles to the top of the ladder, to become the national representative to FIFA, for example, they have earned the right to some graft. And while Europeans may be offended by the corruption surrounding their beautiful game, they rarely pursue white-collar crime with the same passion America does. It's also true that the United States is soaked in hubris. They are the only superpower at present, and many Americans guilelessly believe this makes them the global policemen. It would never occur to even the most soccer-obsessed Canadian that Ottawa should be sending police to Switzerland. By contrast, if asked, even the most indifferent American would shrug and say, "Why not?" But those unlikely arrests in Zurich are better explained by two other uniquely American attributes. First, unlike Canada or Europe, the United States legal system encourages plea bargains. It is common practice to arrest someone like Blazer, threaten decades of hard time, then offer leniency if they confess the sins of everyone else they know. In fact, 97% of federal criminal cases are resolved through plea bargains. This aggressive tactic makes it far easier to prosecute nebulous crimes where evidence is hard to collect, such as those in the FIFA case, but is also open to abuse. False testimony or innocent people pleading guilty, which is why plea bargains are rarely used elsewhere. Second, the American legal system is steeped in politics. Prosecutors, sheriffs, even judges are elected by the public, and Attorney General Lynch's appointment was confirmed by the Senate after one of the longest and most partisan nomination battles in U.S. history. In that environment, high-profile cases that justify lengthy press conferences and attract the most news cameras bring a practical value. They ensure name recognition, support, votes, and define successful careers. When Lynch first began to pursue the FIFA case, she was the U.S. attorney in Brooklyn. If her primary goal was to safeguard the people of Brownsville or Fort Greene, she would not have been spending any time worrying about soccer corruption half a world away. But according to the political algebra of America, Lynch's calculations made perfect sense. The proof, of course, is her subsequent elevation to Attorney General. In light of these circumstances, the spectacle of American justice reaching into a distant Swiss hotel becomes less extraordinary. Indeed, more arrests are quite possible, and we may even see the unrepentant FIFA chief, Sepp Blatter, sitting in Brooklyn's notorious Rikers Island prison one day. Which may leave many of us hoping that perhaps there's a few Canadian senators who keep an American bank account. This is Scott Gilmore from Maclean's Magazine.
Sarcastically applauding.
You can't argue with that.
The referee, belatedly, the man who sent off Wayne Rooney, is about to...